Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Now, there's an ongoing housing and rent crisis at the moment, with many families and young people struggling to afford to rent, purchase or pay back their mortgages. But what housing grants and allowances are out there? What government supports are in place? Well, on the line now to tell us more, we have John Lowe, our money doctor. You are very welcome back to the show, John. How are you?
Thank you very much, Ron. Very well indeed. And greetings from sunny Kilkenny, I might add.
Were you singing last night?
I wish I was. I should have been up on stage with Neil Young and Bob Dylan. But, you know, I think, you know, for those listeners who may remember 1965, and when he was at, well, I only heard this by history, but in 1965 he went to the Newport Folk Festival, and they were absolutely staggered that he had an electric guitar.
Oh, he went electric, of course he did.
He went electric.
Right,
well, yeah. last night in Kilkenny, he never played the flipping guitar.
Really?
He just played piano all night. Yeah,
wow, that's extraordinary.
And every now and again, maybe after every second song, he'd stand up, walk around, just make sure that people, the audience, about 30,000 of them, yeah, knew that he could walk. And he went back and sat in the piano.
And I heard that himself and Neil did a duet at one stage, is that
it
right?
It was fantastic. To be honest, I can't even remember the song, but yeah, it was he came out and did two songs. Neil Young only did two of his songs with the guitar. The rest of it was all kind of crazy horse stuff.
Okay,
the two songs were Heart of Gold,
oh, okay,
and Old Man.
Oh, wow.
Fabulous song.
Yeah,
but
songs.
We could have done a little bit more.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough of the...
enough about the music. But
the music,
I would have loved that would have been a great gig to be at. I'm sure it was wonderful.
It was an absolutely unbelievable weather and unbelievable surrounding.
Oh,
you know,
gorgeous,
so some people worried about crush, you know, the crush. You know, but I was in seats, but a little bit back from the stage. So you can't really get, you know, I've seen Neil Young with only 1,000 people and 1,000 candles and 8 guitars and 3 pianos, 3 keyboards, and only him. Yeah. It was, and that was in Vicar Street.
Yes, well, Vicar Street is the place to see everyone, as far as I'm concerned, because it's everywhere in that place you can see people. Anyway, back to the plot. First of all, John, rent and housing, it never stays out of the news for long. What are the biggest challenges facing individuals and couples renting at the moment?
Rent went up, Ronan, 7% last year, as opposed to the housing market went up 0.6% in most places, including especially Dublin. So rents are just getting astronomical. My own daughter actually moved into a rented accommodation only last week, and herself and her mate, two girls, are paying $2,200 for a two-bedroom apartment.
It's
700 each. So it's huge money. And you could barely break that down and say you could actually afford a mortgage based on the 2,200.
Sure, of course you would,
But then you've got to come up with the deposit and all sorts of other things that you have to come up with.
You're really stuck in that, when you're at that particular stage of life, aren't you? Because you are absolutely right. You could happily pay a mortgage, but getting that deposit together is a big jump, isn't it?
It's huge. It's huge because, there's one thing paying 2,200 and then trying to save for a deposit is nearly impossible, especially, you know, if you're under, say, 30. There's absolutely no way that you can do both. So it's a catch-22 situation where parents could have been expected to help out, but most parents from the crash of 10 years ago, the recession of 10 years ago, don't have the money, and that's the problem. I mean, if there's anybody listening, I can say this, that any parent can give their child $320,000 without having to die.
Yeah, there exactly.
No, that's the inheritance amount where there's no tax payable on that.
Wow.
But they can also give $6,000 each under the gift tax, which is $3,000 per person. Without in kind of incurring into the inheritance that may be given at a later stage.
Absolutely. Now, we are talking about housing grants and allowances, John. So talk to me about rent supplement and where it applies and who would be qualified for it.
Well, again, rent supplement is always means tested. So, you know, you'll be either on the basic where, you know, you're one of those unfortunates that just cannot live, eat. There's a thing called Maslow's hierarchy of needs, food, accommodation, clothing. And, you know, if you haven't got enough money to feed yourself, then you have a right to go to the government body and look for a rent supplement. And they can, you know, especially those who are, you know, near the bordering of homelessness. You know, so there's help out there. I mean, you know, as far as getting back to the young people again who want to get first-time buyers, there's a thing called the Help to Buy scheme, which is, again, up till the 31st of this year. 5% of a property on a new or self-build up to 400,000. So that means it's 20 grand, Ronan.
Sure,
so
yeah.
If you are going for a 400,000 property, you're going to get a 90% loan if you qualify. And that would be, you know, 320,000 or 300, almost 60,000. So that means 40,000 you still have to cough up. But this rent help to buy scheme will actually give you 20,000 if you qualify.
Wow. And how do we find out if we qualify?
Well, you don't. Obviously, you're buying a new or a self-built. Okay. You're a first-time buyer. This is your first-time property. And like if you are with a partner who's had a property, then you're precluded.
Right.
But those kind of, and the Department of the Environment is where you go. In fact, just Google help to buy scheme and it'll give you all the information. There's a whole raft of information on citizensinformation.ie.
And for somebody who's trying to get themselves on the property ladder, it's a genuinely viable option, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. But if it's a second-hand property loan, it's not.
Yes.
You know, I came up with a solution and I was trying to get traction on it. Because, again, this first-time buyer and, you know, this deposit that people have to pay, they haven't got it. And the solution was a thing called the residual mortgage. Could you imagine this? A 100% mortgage, so it's probably, say, costing $300,000. The first-time buyer gets 100% for 35 years, where the first 50% is paid on a capital and interest basis, and the second 50% is paid on an interest-only basis payable at the end of 35 years.
Okay.
Now, in the meantime, the total amount of those, the capital and interest of 50% and the interest for 50%, is less than a 90% loan-to-value. So you're saving something like €110 a month by going for the 100% option. Now, the only downturn part to this solution is that in 35 years, you've got to pay 50% of the property.
Right.
Now, if you go back to 1984, George Orwell, and all that,
yes,
35 years ago, what was the price of a semi-detached house, three-bedroomed, then? It was probably less than 12,000.
Yeah, exactly.
So half of that would be 6,000.
Right.
So again, so in the fullness of time, it's worth a gamble.
Absolutely,
you can pay off as well over the years as well.
When you put it in those terms, it sounds like a no brainer. And yet, you're absolutely right. People tend to do the figures and go, oh, that would be a gamble, all right. You know, and that's kind of what tends to stop people from going for these things, isn't it?
Well, I would be going for it in this current climate.
Sure.
It was me,
sure.
And I was a first-time buyer, and I was given that option because 35 years of payments that are less than a current 90% loan-to-value.
Sure.
And you've got your home, and you don't have to put your hand in your pocket.
And then what you're saying is, in 35 years' time, it becomes interest-only. Is that what you're saying?
In 35 years, you've paid off half of it because it was capital and interest. The other half, Ronan, is still left.
Right.
So you're now paying €150,000 on that property in 35 years. But what is that property worth in 35 years? My guess, it could be worth maybe $1 million. Or more.
Right,
you may have paid that off as well.
Yeah,
don't forget, your income will rise as you get older. Generally, it rises. And you can get promotion, you can get a new business, you can win the lottery, you can do all sorts of things. And you could elect to go and start paying a capital interest basis.
So time for a conversation with Pascal. That's it, exactly. So listen, rent to buy is another option for some people.
Yeah, rent to buy, and it's not unfortunately available really out there. Very few who are allowing that to happen. And it's not a bad thing, or, you know, even rent a mortgage in the sense that you're paying rent and at some stage in the future you're given the option to buy. But as I said, there's very few instances of this being available out there.
Right. And mortgage to rent?
Same thing, except, you know, there's an awful lot of people out there who can't afford their own mortgage on them.
Yes.
And what they've been allowed to do is actually stay in the same house but just rent it out. So effectively there's a deal done whereby whoever is taking over the house owns the house, but they allow the person to rent there until they pass away.
So is the best option here, if people are listening in and going, okay, right, mortgage to rent or rent to buy or, you know, first time buyer or whatever, is to just Google those phrases?
Google all of them. And I say, you know, you could, certainly for the first time buyers, you know, help to buy scheme is still available till the 31st. But I'm quite sure it'll be renewed in October.
Okay.
And as far as, you know, mortgage supplement and help in that area, again, you can look up citizens' information because they have lots of information on that. And even those who maybe not even qualify for that, in St. Vincent's, the Asylum Community, all of these charities are helping you to make sure that you're accommodated. Nobody should be on the streets. Nobody.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. John Lowe, our money doctor, thank you so much for talking to us this
morning.
Pleasure. God bless you.
Good morning.
Around this time of year, with talk of CAO points and college courses, I wonder if I was to go back to college, what course would I study? Well, courses that are proving particularly popular this year in CAO applications are STEM courses and courses with an environmental focus. And with a few weeks to go until the Leaving Cert results are released, on the line now to give advice to students awaiting results and tips for parents and family members in supporting these students, we have Guidance Counsellor from Mullingar, Betty McLaughlin. You are very, very welcome to the show, Betty.
Good morning and thanks very much.
First of all, Betty, there has been a change to the Leaving Cert CAO results this year in that the results come out earlier than usual.
That's right. They'll be out on the Monday rather than the Wednesday, which is a big help, you know.
And how come it's a big help? Is that to get moving
well,
on
I
the
suppose,
CAO?
I tell you, it means that the students, they will have their, or sorry, they come out on the, yeah, the, on the instead of coming out on the Wednesday, or instead of coming out on the Monday, they'll come out on the Friday, which means that for students, they don't have that agonizing wait over the weekend.
Very good.
You know, working on the helpline every year, the one thing for students, you know, they used to ringing up asking, oh, what do you think the points will go down? Will they go up? And it was an absolutely agonizing, stressful weekend for them.
For sure.
Because they would have got their Leaving Cert results on the Wednesday and they had to wait until the following Monday to get their CAO up. Whereas now they will have them on the Friday.
Couple of days. Weekend, yeah.
And that will be a big help. Yeah. Because as you know, the points, they fluctuate, sometimes not very much, but they do fluctuate. And even if you've just got the same points, for example, for a course that was the previous year, you wonder, will it go up or what will the story be? Will I still get it? I'm just barely hanging in there. It's worrying for them, you know. They shouldn't worry as much as they do because there are so many options. But everything is relative. And, you know, if they don't get their top course, very often students would report back after a year in college. They were delighted they got their third choice or their fourth choice, that that was the course for them, and they had a wonderful year.
I'm just remembering, actually, the story of Rebecca Carter from last year.
Oh, yes.
Where literally there was that situation where she couldn't, because of a messing up of the registration and the admin and all that kind of stuff, she wasn't able to sort it out, and it had to end up having to take the state to court, or having to take UCD to court.
Yeah, well, what happened there really was, I suppose, UCD brought forward their registration date, and they brought it forward before the results, you know, before the results of the rechecks would have come out, which are usually the first week in August. But everything has been brought forward now. The universities are all on board, and they have extended their registration until the results of the rechecks are out. So she did a big service there, really, in that she brought everything, she streamlined everything for students. So, please God, that will never happen again for any student, you know?
And I'm just thinking as well, I was just noticing, because I reported it in the papers over the last little while, another change to the Leaving Cert this year was for anyone who suffered a bereavement, that they've been able to postpone their exam until August.
Yeah, and that was very fair, really, too. Because,
absolutely.
You know, obviously, if you lose somebody close to you, you know, you don't want to, you can't concentrate. Now, in saying that, actually, in our school, there was an instance like that, but the student decided, no, I'm not going to, I just want to get it over with, I just want to do it. You know, they lost a parent who had been ill and said, no, they just want me to get on with it, and they went ahead. But at least it was great that the choice was there for them if they decided to postpone their exam due to bereavement. I think that was a very human, a very welcome development from the SEC, the State Exam Commission, and the Minister.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, humane is the word. And the CAO have released statistics on what college courses are proving popular this year. What's coming up?
Well, what's coming up very much is the environmental and, you know, I think the schools have a lot to be thankful have to be thanked for that, because they've done an awful lot in the recent years in the curriculum, through the subject specifications and everything, to highlight the need for sustainability and the need to tackle sustainability and global warming and so on. And students have taken an interest in that, I would say. That has had a big impact on their choices. Of course, also they would hear that there is a lot to be done. There will be a lot of meaningful employment to be found in environmental protection.
Yeah.
Environmental Protection Agency, finding alternative resources and all that. So there will
sure.
be exciting, evolving work in that area. And of course, that does encourage parents and their students to go for these courses. But I would always say, though, to a student, don't be worried about the jobs or what they are. Just, you know, pick a course that's going to excite you, that you're going to excel in, because there will always be different jobs, and jobs evolve, and the jobs that will be there in 4 years' time haven't even been thought up yet, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I remember something crazy, hearing that, something crazy, like, you know, when you're going into fifth year, like, the actual job you're going to get, 60% of them don't even exist yet.
Exactly, and that's still the case today,
is
you
it?
Know, that
yeah.
is still the case, because they, it evolves with the needs. No more than education evolves with the needs as well of society and of the economy.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think students are becoming more conscious of the employability factor in their course selection?
Well, most definitely. If the statistics, which they are correct from the CAO, they'll be very clear with their statistics. The statistics are definitely pointing to that fact, and they're pointing as well that parents are putting in a huge investment to educate their children, and I suppose they want to get a return for that, and
yeah,
it is influencing them. But I still say, you know, make sure, don't take a course in environmental science, for example, if you're not scientific, if you don't have an aptitude for science, you know, please take a course where you have an aptitude and an interest.
Do you know, I was just thinking that very thought myself, like a science, technology, engineering and maths, it's all very well if you have an aptitude. But I can just imagine somebody, you know, who is absolutely brilliant in English and history, absolutely panicking because they think, I don't do those, you know?
Well, absolutely. And the bottom line is, if you just, say you even wanted to be a doctor, I mean, if you get a 2-1 in any degree,
yeah.
You're deemed suitable to sit the exam that would qualify you to do a postgrad in it. And that's a 2-1 in any discipline. And to get a 2-1 result, which is 60% plus, you seriously need to be interested. You need to be dedicated to that course and that subject, you know. And that's the way to go, really.
Absolutely, yeah. So, advice. What advice would you give to students, and maybe their parents too, that are waiting for results to arrive?
Well, firstly, I'd say, look, thankfully you have reached the milestone. You've got through this exam, you've got through this CAO application process, or the PLC, or whatever you've done. I would just say, chill out now, draw a line in the sand, wait and see what happens. And do remember that even when you get your offer, if you're not happy, there are other options still. There are options like there will be vacant places on the CAO, so you can apply for something different if you're not happy with the offer given to you.
Sure.
There's post-leaving cert courses. They're still enrolling and will be right up to the end of August. You know, and if you're not sure about your course, there's nothing better you could do than take a post-leaving cert course and, you know, explore the different courses. You could even, if you say you get a science and you're not sure you want to do it, you can do a pre-science course there. You know, in a post-leaving cert, lab skills and everything, and it will answer for you whether or not that's the course for you that you want to spend the next 4 years maybe plus on. There's PLC courses, there's also the apprenticeship route now, the Aaron Wiley study route.
Huge,
please
yeah.
consider it, because that is absolutely amazing, the opportunities that yeah. are there now. There's auctioneering, and you're paid while you study, your fees are covered. There's the Accounting Technicians of Ireland, where you can go in as an apprentice accountant. There, your employer will pay you 18,000 to 20,000 for your first year. They'll pay your fees for college, and you can actually progress through the Accounting Technicians of Ireland from an apprenticeship right up to a Chartered Accountant Level 9. So, you know, there's such developments there. They're not out there enough. People don't know enough about them, because if they did, they would say, my goodness, what an opportunity. You know, there's the Insurance Institute of Ireland as well offers similar to the Accounting Technicians of Ireland. And these are fantastic opportunities for students.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're just to mention a few, in the hospitality, there's everything.
That's right. And so in terms of, there are so many practical options.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So from an emotional perspective, you know, what would a parent do now? You know, the reality is there may be disappointment there. How do you help the student to kind of, without being kind of patronizing with them?
How do you help
them handle their disappointment?
Well, I would just say is that, you know, definitely take a stand back now, because, you know, I mean, they're going into adulthood.
Yes.
And I would say, look, I'm here, I listen to you, we'll support you.
Great.
We'll look at alternatives if you're not happy with what you have.
Yeah.
You know, I'm there for you. These results are not, you know, going to define you.
Exactly.
We love you for the wonderful person that you are and not for what you've got so far. And education is a lifelong thing. And there is definitely more than one route into whatever their desired course is. There are routes and roads into every career path.
Lovely. So finally, any advice on how Leaving Cert students should be preparing for third level?
Well, absolutely. Now is the time. If they have a good inclination of where they're going to be, they could certainly be looking at what is one of the biggest challenges of all now, is seeing what the accommodation situation is like.
Very
so
good.
They should be contacting the accommodations office in the college of their choice, or a few of their choices. They should also be looking at, you know, websites like daf.ie and seeing what accommodation is available if they're going to be living away from home. Looking, being aware of what dates that their registration will take place, being aware of, you know, they could even visit the college just to put their mind at ease. It's nice to go in, walk around, you know, if they're fairly sure of themselves.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I'd say, look, chill out, because there will be plenty of times, but do not miss. Make sure you know what that week, wherever you're going, the orientation week, gives them all the information that they need, tells them all the lectures that they have to do, all the extra tutorials, the deadlines, what to happen, where the supports are available to them in third level. Also, it's very good for them to, you know, to know what courses, what tutorials are available. Like if you're going to DCU, to know that there's a maths grind free there, there's one in Maynooth, you know, all the different things that are available to them when they go to college. So they absolutely need to be there for the orientation week. So if they're doing a summer job, just make sure that they will be finished in time to do that orientation week in college, in the college of their choice.
Lovely. Betty McLaughlin, Guidance Counsellor from Mullingar, thank you so much for speaking to us
this
morning. God bless you.
The Holiday Doctor on Spirit Radio is brought to you by InsureMyHoliday.ie. Wherever you go worldwide, it's got to be InsureMyHoliday.ie.
Well, if you want a holiday break with a guarantee of sunshine, warm temperatures and good facilities, Abu Dhabi might be a good bet. Our next guest has recently been there and he's here to let us know what he thought. In studio to tell us more, we have our travel doctor, Joe Supple. You are welcome to the show. Back to the show, Joe. How are you, man?
Very good morning to Lovely and sunny out there today, Ronan. So, yeah, it's the time to sort of plan, you know, the summer breaks and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you're going to have to help us here.
Okay.
Where is Abu Dhabi?
Abu Dhabi is there. But Abu Dhabi, people probably say, you know, are you familiar with Abu Dhabi and Dubai? I mean, Dubai would be sort of more the capital one, which people are more familiar with.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful destination to go to. And I'd been to Dubai many years ago, but I never got to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
But in the last many years, Abu Dhabi has sort of come up even more. So,
do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull your microphone back, because you're speaking into the back of it there. That's it.
Perfect. We're all good to go.
Can you just pull us towards yourself there?
No problem.
Oh, we're good, yeah. That's lovely now.
Grand,
yeah,
sorry.
No problem at all. So, yeah, you were saying, sorry for interrupting you there.
Not at all. Yeah, so Abu Dhabi is really popular. I mean, people have been going there for many years. As I said, they hadn't been there before, and it's just getting so built up there now. And, I mean, obviously, you know, the wealth over there, it's the oil, all about the oil.
Yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is, like, I can see, now, I don't know a whole lot, I've never been there or anything like that, but you can see the way it's developed as a location, that there is, it really is kind of, they're creating a kind of a place for the great and the good, a kind of a Cannes or a what Beirut used to be back in the 60s, a beautiful place for the beautiful people.
Absolutely.
What is it like for like somebody like me?
And over there, well, no,
who's not a beautiful people.
As I said, it is a great destination to go to. I mean, the reason we went, I went over there for a 3-day trip with Etihad Airways.
Yeah.
And it was interesting, I hadn't flown, like, I've been lucky enough to fly, you know, first class to Australia, I've done business class all over the world. Oh, I know, it's a terrible shame.
That's a desperate life you have, man.
It is, for sure. And I've done a bit of work with Etihad Airways through the years and different things. I've never actually flown with them, so it was my first time to experience what Etihad Airways had to offer. And also, for the summertime, they just launched their Dreamliner plane, which is a beautiful, beautiful
aircraft. I believe it's lovely, and it was all newly kitted out and all that kind of stuff. It's nice.
It's absolutely stunning.
Stunning,
it's
one of
the best planes I've been on before, as I said. But, you know, they flew us business class there and back, which was a very nice experience.
Very nice.
First of the flight out.
Absolutely. So is the Dreamliner like one of those AC, whatever they call them, like 130s or whatever, one of those big, you know, around the world jobbies? Is
the A380?
Is it jet?
No, it's not. No, it's quite a normal looking jet, really.
Okay.
But it's just the technology on it is just unbelievable. Again, you've experienced turbulence, it's very minimum.
Wow.
It's got all mood lighting in it. They've reconfigured the whole cabin. So
you're making me jealous, Joe.
Very jealous, all right, yeah. So they said they're running that for the summer season down there. So we left Dublin. There was a couple of us, a couple of journalists who went down there for the trip just to experience, you know, the new Dreamliner. We actually flew down, which is a good thing to hear, that we flew down in the 777, which is a larger aircraft, because they were overbooked, and then we flew back then on the Dreamliner. But the experience you get on board, as I said, you know, I've been lucky enough to fly first class Australia. I went on the 747 many years ago with Virgin Atlantic, but this just brings it to a completely other level.
Wow.
I mean, the service on board you get, everything, and then, you know, it's over, it's a 6.5 hour flight and then an 8 hour flight back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you're going against the wind.
With the winds and stuff.
Yeah.
So basically you get your first class service on board, you know, you're having your drinks, your food, and then suddenly they turn your seat into a bed.
Wow.
And you sleep for a couple of hours and then land all fresh in Abu Dhabi.
Very
nice. As I said, a great trip down with Etihad Airways, and then of course we flew back to Dreamliner, which I'll talk about again. So we went down there. Now, there's really good deals to be had as well.
Are there? Okay.
Really good for hotels-wise. Yeah. And it's picking the right time. I mean, when we're down there, it's about 40 degrees, which is very hot. So, you know, you're running indoors and whatever.
Yeah.
And it is
screaming for your mother.
That's it, yeah. But again, there's so much to do down there. We stayed in the Rotana Hotel, which is Sandiat. It is the resort there, hotel. Beautiful, beautiful resort. And again, it's all little islands there of different areas. So, you know, you would need to maybe have, like, you know, get a taxi here and there. Taxis are very cheap anyway.
Okay.
But there's so much for people, like if you think about going down there, like family-wise, you have things, like you have all the big resorts and stuff down there. Again, the Warner Brothers Resort would be one.
Okay.
But you know, the difference with this is, you know, you go to, you think about Florida, you go, it's all outdoor. This is all indoor, so it's all air-conditioned.
Okay.
It's great, but you're getting to experience all those.
So in a way, they've designed it allowing for the fact that there's crazy heat, and that, so they give you a lot of indoor.
Everything's worked around that. Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Lovely.
So you go into restaurants and like it's completely air-conditioned. Hotels are all the same as well. That sort of thing. Again, if anyone's looking for information just on Abu Dhabi, I mean, I know we're going to get to quite a bit today on it anyway.
Yeah.
Visit abudhabi.ae/UK. All the details are there on the tourism, Abu Dhabi, where to go, what to see, what to do. And again, it's worth your while sort of, you know, in advance, maybe booking your tickets for the different things and working out your itinerary for yourself, depending on how long you're going for.
Yeah.
Again, lead prices down there. So to start off, you know, this is sort of the peak time at the moment, but you can get down there return for 428 economy.
What? 428. That's amazing.
So you think about, you're doing a 6.5 hour flight down, 8 hour flight back, 428. Business class starts in and around €2,000. So somebody's talking to me recently saying €2,000, and I'm saying, yeah, but you know, so many families, you know, older parents and stuff, and who might be in Australia doing connections. And again, Abu Dhabi is a huge connection.
Actually, everybody that I know that went there first were on their way to Australia.
They're doing it exactly. Yeah, that's the way to do it. So maybe even look at getting business class on the way back. You know, if it's your elderly parents and you're working over there, that might be something to maybe look at doing there as well.
Sure.
True, as I said, it is a huge connection. Actually, the new airport's opening very soon, which is unbelievable.
So are you saying 428 will get you your flight, and then you're into trying to get your accommodation sorted?
Then your accommodation after that.
Yes.
As I said, I stayed in the Rotana, which is, it's a group of hotels there. This is their first 5-star hotel. Beautiful, beautiful resorts, loads of different restaurants, really good variety, foods, everything.
And can you book directly with them, or would you have to go through?
No, you can book
through
the Rotana website. Yeah, that's probably the way to do it. Again, you can book your flights to etihad.com, and and then maybe book your accommodation separate and look. But sometimes you can get deals down there for beautiful hotels because everything is such high end there.
Sure.
So you're going to the 5-6 star resorts, which I can talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
But if you booked a nice 3-4 star hotel, you could pay as little as €35 a night.
Wow.
€40 a night. But you're talking about luxury. And then you get upscale to the 5-6, you know, that type of thing. I mean, I did visit the Emirates Palace Hotel, which is one of the most famous hotels in the world.
Yeah.
It cost $3.9 billion to build.
Wow.
Which is,
they say it's like a hospital.
They basically say it is the safest hotel in the world.
Wow.
So, which is just unbelievable, But again, the culture over there, you know, again, people say, can you drink in the country?
Yeah.
You can in hotels and stuff. I mean, obviously, the supermarkets, no alcohol at all.
Sure.
No bars, no nothing. There'll be bars connected. It has to be within a hotel.
So it's almost like that compound idea that once you're in the hotel, it's fine.
It's
you
no
can take
problem.
A drink, but you do not do that, like, out and about.
Not outdoors. No. Yeah. And again, going to places like that, you need to respect their customs and things and do a bit of research before before you go down there.
Yeah.
Now, we went to visit the Grand Mosque as well, which is absolutely beautiful. It was built a few years ago. And it's unbelievable. It can hold up to 40,000 people at one time, sitting, which is just unbelievable.
Can I just ask you, before we leave the hotel thing, the kind of foods that you could get, is there a real range of everything available, world food of every kind, or is it a particular type of cuisine?
No, it's absolutely everything. I mean, the hotel we were staying in, there was a beautiful Italian restaurant there, so you could have pizza, you could have your beer, and then you have your oriental restaurants and all that
sushi and all that stuff,
everything. But it's all the normal sort of top drink spirits that you'd have. Now, here's the thing, it can be very expensive for a drink there. I mean, you can pay up to maybe sort of like around 16, 17 euro for a pint of beer. So it's very expensive.
Wow.
So again, maybe it might be worth your while looking at the all-inclusive option when you're doing your pricing up.
Sure.
Or else they do deals in the hotel. Like the hotel we were staying in, they had a deal. Local money was around 99, so around 25 euro for 3 drinks. That's not bad. So if you're having your dinner, and maybe an after-dinner drink or something, three drinks, it's 25 quid.
You can stretch that. And the food itself?
Food is stunning, absolutely beautiful.
Price?
Food is inexpensive as well. I mean, but, you know, a little bit more expensive than we would pay here.
Okay.
But everything is at a premium, you know what I mean? Everything is really good. And of course, the big thing there is the Friday, because obviously there, Saturday is our Sunday, so that's the day. So Friday, everybody goes out, and it's the bottomless, you know. In other words, you've got as much food as you want. Runs from around 12 till around 5 o'clock, 6 in the evening.
Yeah.
And it's the drink, food, everything included, in around €100 per person.
Okay.
That's worth doing if you're going out with friends.
So load up.
So loads up, But again, there's so many people from Ireland who live there, from the UK.
It's really,
A huge amount of expats who are living over there. And it's just a great place to go and visit. As I said, there's so much to do, whether it's, you know, yourselves, adults, so much to see there as well.
So you mentioned going to see the Grand Mosque. What other kinds of things can you know, like kind of excursions and culture and history and that kind of stuff? What's going on?
Well, I mean, we did the cultural tour in the centre, where basically the fort is, where it all started off all those years ago. But you can also, the big thing there as well, is to go out in the desert, the 4x4s, which is the thing. Because remember, you're living in a desert.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like it when you're in the city, but you know, it is actually was a desert and
desert,
still is a desert.
That'd be a vibe, wouldn't it?
Hence the heat. Yeah, so things like that you would definitely do. Of course, then you also have Ferrari World. You have all these big places that people would sort of know about.
Yeah.
As I said, the Warner Brothers is unbelievable. Great for kids. There's loads of great attractions there as well.
Yeah.
And the shopping is really good there as well. And of course, it's duty free.
Yeah, I heard that, like, the shopping is really like just really high end shops. Of this designer, that designer, cars
stuff.
Stunning, as I said, the great and the good, I mean, this is where they go.
Yep.
So, do you get a feeling when you're there of, this is kind of out of my league? Or does it not feel like that?
It doesn't feel, it depends what you're going for. There's such a variety there. You can go for the top end, like the Emirates Palace, whatever. You know, you can book or go in for even have one drink there, or maybe something or some food. And then there's the basic sort of place where you go into just nice little restaurants and hotels and stuff. So I think it fits every sort of market, you know, depending on what you're looking for.
It's funny. Now, I've got a picture in my head now, and I'm drawn to parallels with Las Vegas. Is it at all like Las Vegas or not at all?
Not at all, no, because it's all so split up. You know what I mean? So it's not like one big street.
Right,
I mean, you've got the centre, but then you'd have, you know, like, as I said, the Warner Brothers is there. Next door, you've got
And
Ferrari.
Is the Warner Brothers like a big, like, Disneyland kind of Disney park kind of a thing?
Yep, and it's all indoors.
Indoors.
So it's completely, but you think
that's
about the
amazing,
heat, because again, I think I was in Dubai many years ago, I think it was around May time, and it was very comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, when it gets into, it can go up to 40, 45 degrees.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
very, very hot. So again, you need to plan what time of the year you're thinking about going
so
there.
So May, September?
May's a good time, yeah. And October, November, December, January, a huge
really
amount
matter.
Of people.
Yeah, yeah.
Huge amount people are going there now as well. And what they're doing is they're flying into Abu Dhabi. They're staying maybe one or two nights there, and then they're boarding a cruise ship and do a cruise. Great way to do it, because all the big brands are down there. Royal Caribbean, MSC. And again, actually, there's a really good deal at the moment is if you're thinking about stopping over, if you're flying onwards this summer, they're doing a really good deal now. It's basically a free stopover. In other words, Etihad Airways, you book your flight, they give you two nights in a choice of 15 hotels for free, or else you can pay, get one night free in over 60 hotels. So you book your ticket, you stay there for two nights, you get to experience Abu Dhabi, and then you fly on to Australia or wherever you're going, or Thailand, places like that. So, yeah, it's definitely worth. And also on your boarding card as well, it gives you good discounts, like 20% discounts in shops, hotels, activities as well.
Yeah.
So in planning that, it's definitely worth maybe looking at those options.
So just to back up for a second, you mentioned the cruises. I presume the cruises are around the Persian Gulf, are they?
They are, very much so. Yes, yeah, so you've seen all those beautiful places, you're stopping off, seeing
It'd be a fantastic thing. Yeah. So in general, the feeling I'm getting from you is it's slightly more expensive than what we might pay here, but not crazily more.
Not crazy more expensive, no. And again, if you're getting your hotel for €35, €40 a night, you're sort of going, we'll supplement in between,
That's cheaper than a B&B in Ireland, you know?
It is, yeah. And again, you know, when we get to sort of like January here and it's so cold, and you're thinking, will I go to Gran Canaria? But then you're thinking, it could be 80, it could be cold down there as well. Yeah, whereas you're guaranteed lovely sunshine. Temperatures, 25, 30 degree, which is just very cool.
Oh, you have me thinking there, Joe.
I think you have to. And also, they have the Louvre there as well. They just opened the Louvre, which we went to
That's
visit.
Hilarious.
And it's unbelievable in the heat. And then suddenly you walk inside this place. It's an unbelievable building.
So they've brought paintings from the Louvre.
Basically, it's the first place outside where they've opened it. So they've everything there. I mean, it's just, every time you walk around, you're seeing something new and something different. And they do everything like so good there. You know, it's all about investment in everything.
So recommend it?
I'd highly recommend it to go there, definitely. And if you are thinking about travelling and maybe going on somewhere, is doing the two-day stopover. I think that's a really good way of seeing it without maybe having to spend all that big money there.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're travelling on to Australia
or
to Thailand or something. Yeah. So I'd highly recommend it. Web address I gave you there. And also all details are on etihad.com. For the best fares and offers. So, yeah.
And you mentioned one other thing, which was basically abudhabi.ae, is it?
Sorry, that was the actual... One second there. Yeah, it's visitabudhabi.ae/UK. All the details there of... it's all the culture, tourism, all the details on the things I spoke about there, the Warner Brothers, the Ferrari world, but also maybe booking hotels. It gives you all the information. I mean, I know we can only talk so long on air.
It's good
to go online.
And as you said, the Etihad website for those. That's a reasonable fare, €428.
It's very good. Yeah. And also, they're online. The connections are really, really good as well. And it's twice daily, the flight. So you can leave in the morning.
And would you get onto the Dreamliner for €428? Would you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the Dreamliner's running. Yeah, that's running in the evening time.
I'd do it just for that.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, definitely. It's worth the experience. And even as well, in the economy, it's really, really good.
Yeah.
And it's really, really comfortable. So, it's definitely worth considering. If you're looking for somewhere
fantastic.
And somewhere different, it's definitely worth checking it out.
Brilliant talking to you, Joe. God bless you, man.
Great stuff. Thanks, man.
The Doctor on Spirit Radio is brought to you by InsureMyHoliday.ie. Wherever you go worldwide, it's got to be InsureMyHoliday.ie.
Now, I have with me this morning two exciting young musical artists, one from Indiana in the US, the other from Belfast in Northern Ireland. They are both regulars on the Spirit Radio playlist, and together they are touring Ireland this week, getting off to a great start last night at The Well in Bray, County Wicklow. So it's a great pleasure to welcome both this morning, both Hannah Schaefer and Rebecca Fitch. You're both very welcome to the show. How are you doing there, ladies?
Thank you so much.
So good. How are you?
Yeah, good. So first of all, how was the gig at The Well?
It went amazingly. Yeah. It was really great. Thank you. We absolutely loved it. Yesterday was the first day that Hannah and I actually met.
Do you know, I was thinking how weird that was because, you know, I knew we've been advertising you for months. And I was just thinking, and you said to me on the phone last week, I haven't actually met her yet, you know.
I was so excited for that.
Right.
Exactly. And, you know, I would have done like myself, obviously with our own band, substantial touring probably in a lot. And we went to Indiana and played a load of places there back about 20 years ago. And it's really interesting interesting because you often appear on the same bill as somebody and you don't meet them until literally you're almost walking on the stage.
Right. Well, these days people do collaborations and release music and it goes to number one and they've never met.
That's right. Absolutely. Yep. That's right. And, you know, files crossing the Atlantic. it's stunning. So Hannah, is this your first time to Ireland?
It is.
Very welcome. It's lovely and cold, isn't it?
I just think it's lovely.
That's good. Actually, we had one nice day.
Cold. There's cold weather there usually, so
that's good. Tell us a bit about yourself and how you decided to follow a career in contemporary Christian music.
Wow. Well, what a question. I have always known that I wanted to do music ever since I was little. I just really, really loved singing. And it wasn't until I was about a senior in high school that I really felt God's calling to really pursue this, like this path. I actually had a scholarship and was going to go into college to study opera.
Wow.
But then God just kind of was like, Hannah, no, like that, I don't want you to go. And that was really difficult because I'm like, I just had a, you know, graduation party and like everybody thinks I'm doing this and I'm the oldest. So I like want to set an example, like I want to go to college and all that kind of stuff. But, when God says go, you know, you should. So that's really when I started diving into, the world, this world. I had done a couple trips down to Nashville when I was like 17, 18, kind of just doing some writing trips.
Nashville's a bit of a trip all of its own, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I love Nashville.
Yeah.
Love Nashville. Good. Lived there for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, I get that. So you became part of that kind of Nashville thing that was going on. I tell us about the John Lennon Song Award.
Yes, so the song All the Way, my song All the Way released in 2014 with my very first EP. And then I submitted it to, someone told me like, hey, you should submit your songs to these competitions. I'm like, oh, I've never heard of this before, but cool. Okay. So I submitted it and it ended up landing in the top 24 grand prize winners. And then it won the gospel category. And then it continued to go on and won, it was in the top 12 Lennon Award.
Brilliant.
Winning songs. So God is good.
And I presume that was a great encouragement to you.
Oh, it was. It was. And it was really interesting. I think God meets you where you're at, because I was just kind of like, oh my goodness, everything felt stagnant after I released the EP. I'm like, I don't really know. Like, what am I? I'm playing shows,
going?
But like, God, where is this going? I have no idea. I mean, I was like 18 living in my parents' place. And like, I just didn't know where he was calling me. And, but then that I just opened up my email right when I was having like a moment of doubt, which is crazy. And it just kind of blossomed from there.
So you mentioned earlier on about the Nashville thing, and you know, so you go to Nashville, and you know, one of the things that I'm aware is like everywhere you go in Nashville, there's music playing, and it's, you know, it can be very inspiring, but also people can disappear in the suburbs. You know, people can just kind of do, you know what I mean? Like everyone moves to Nashville to kind of further their writing career, but what actually happens is they just end up staying in their bedroom and not actually doing anything. So what was your experience there?
Wow. Okay. So I actually knew when I was 17 that I wanted to move to Nashville, but I didn't just move because I wanted to. I waited to feel God's pull. So pull to move there. And so I started saving. I started working in Indiana, like a barista job. I'd wake up and do the morning shift at like 4 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I'd go home and practice music or babysit. I mean, like that was my life, was saving up money so that I could move to Nashville. And so instead of working in Nashville, because I know a lot of people will get caught up, like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but that's not what I wanted to do. They'll get caught up in, you know, working that they don't actually have time to do the music. Like you said, like they just kind of, when they are home, they're in their bedroom and
they're
like,
exhausted.
They're exhausted. Yeah, oh my gosh. And I know what that feels like.
Yeah,
I was doing that for like 3 years, just working, saving. Yeah. And so, but when I finally felt God's pull and like I had saved enough, I was living off of my savings so that I could be 24/7 doing music, like creating relationships, going to shows, like meeting people. And I mean that was hard too, because I moved there by myself. I was 20 and I knew a few people, but I mean it was a journey all its own. I would never take that experience back for anything. I grew so much, and a lot of songs off of this that I've released this year were all written during that time.
Absolutely. Wow. Really good. I definitely want to get you to play some music. You brought in an acoustic guitar, did you? Mm-hmm. So we do something, you're happy to do something live here, yeah?
Of course.
So we give Warrior a go, will we?
Sure, if you want. You want Warrior?
Why not?
All right. How's that sound?
Really nice.
Let me take that just a little bit. Okay. Actually, would you mind if I did Who I Am instead?
Why not?
Okay, awesome. Good. I'm in the mood to do Who I Am. I'm just like, oh, man.
You go first.
Okay, good. All my life they put me in a box, telling me who I was and what I'm not. Not your Barbie doll, I'm not gonna get involved. If you're gonna treat me like a trophy on the wall, I don't wanna know who you think I am. Cause I know just who I am. You don't know, you get to tell me what my heart feels. I'm happy being me. If you don't like it, you can step out the door. I'm not gonna stop you. I know just who I am. Like Ireland. I've never needed to change this whole time. I'm living how I want, and I don't care if you say that I'm crazy. This is the real me. I don't wanna know who you think I am. Cause I know just who I am. You don't know, you don't get to tell me what my heart feels. I'm happy being me. If you don't like it, you can step out the door. I'm not gonna stop you. I know just who I am. Hey, ooh, 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 who I am. Tear me down. I'm a fighter. I'ma stick it out and stand my ground. Yeah, yeah. And when they try to hold me down, I'ma rise above, break through the clouds. Sunshine now. I know. Do you like that at all? No. Okay, cool. I know just who I am. You don't know, you don't get to tell me what my heart feels. I'm happy being me. If you don't like it, you can zip out the door. I'm not gonna stop you. I know just who I am.
Lovely. And actually, it's a special treat because our audience now have heard that song in two versions in the last hour.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So there you go. So, just real quickly, what was the, I mean, I have a fair idea, but what was the inspiration for those lyrics?
Wow. So, because you're talking about Nashville, I specifically just kind of wanted to do that one.
I wrote it while I was in Nashville, and because when you move to a big city, or really just in a new place, and you're kind of discovering who the person that you want to become, sometimes it can be really hard because there's a lot of opinions coming from a lot of different people of who you should be. And I had that happen a lot with just different influential people in the industry being like, you should do this type of music, or you should sound this way, or you should do
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
And it just was so overwhelming one time. This song just poured out of my heart. I just sat down. I remember distinctly, I was just feeling very discouraged. I just sat down in the kitchen and just started writing this song. I'm like, I know who I am, and like, you don't get to tell me what my heart feels, because you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what God has put in my heart.
Absolutely.
And so that's
powerful. And it naturally speaks to many other young people and older people like me as well. It's absolutely brilliant. So thank you, Rebecca. Is this your first time performing in this neck of the woods?
It was my first time performing in Bray last night, which is awesome. Yeah. I've been down to Dublin a good few times, and I just love it there.
Yeah.
And obviously, for me, it's 2 hours down the road.
Yeah,
not like
exactly.
Tana. Yeah. He has to fly across an ocean.
Yeah.
So it feels like, it feels different from the north, but it's also a nice extended family down here. And I think people are wanting more and more to increase the links between the north and the south in terms of music, which is really lovely to be invited down.
Yeah, and you're absolutely dead right. There is that kind of subtle cultural difference between Northern Ireland and the Republic, but at the same time, there is that kind of, we share that warmth, don't we?
Yeah, music is so important to both sides,
Delighted to have you. And I remember myself, back in my gigging days, we used to love going to Belfast.
Yeah.
We just loved it because they were just so warm and they just loved what we were doing. So it's great. So tell us about your other concerts this week.
So tomorrow we are playing in Dublin.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's St. Paul's in Iron Key. Yeah,
yes.
Everyone knows that one.
So that's Tuesday. And then Thursday we're in Kilkenny.
Yeah, that's right. So you're playing St. Patrick's Parish Centre, and that's it. And the Kilkenny Gospel Choir, they're a buzz as well. You'll enjoy them.
Oh,
they're playing with you guys as well.
Can't wait.
And then Friday the 19th to Sunday the 21st.
Yes, we're at One Lord Festival in Tipperary.
Right, and that's okay. And that's new in. Easy enough. Just Google it, lads. Google. Okay. So what are your hopes for the week ahead?
I think just connecting with new people, because I've only really done a few shows in Dublin, so it'll be amazing to meet new audiences and perform to new people, get to know Hannah better, obviously, and just connect on our vision for our music and build on that, because already I feel like we're on such a similar page, and it's so rare to find that sometimes when you have a shared vision with someone. So I think just building off each other's excitement, meeting new people, playing to new audiences is something that I'm really excited for.
So we can find out information, One King Music, and the number is onekingmusic.com, eventbrite.ie, 1650 or 10 euro for unwaged and students, plus group booking rates. Just use the discount code on Eventbrite, my group, and make a reasonable donation. And the Kilkenny is by donation / free event.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah Schaefer and Rebecca Fitch, thank you so much for talking to us this morning. It's an absolute joy and a pleasure to have you both here. I do actually have Poison up on the system. I'm going to play that now. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.